as we're in our theme for this year on the Holy Spirit, being renewed by the Holy Spirit, we're focusing on the Holy Spirit, and we're learning a lot about who the Holy Spirit is. And one thing we really need to talk about on this topic of the Holy Spirit is spiritual gifts. And so for the month of October, we're spending, this is our topic, we're spending some time talking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the many abilities and qualities God distributes among His people through the Holy Spirit. These gifts are meant to build up the church. It's meant to build each other's faith. It's meant to proclaim the gospel, to make God known in the world. And it's something that equips the church to help the church grow and become stronger. Well, today we are in the book of 1 Peter, and in this letter, Peter is encouraging Christians from all over in their faith as they face persecutions, as they face hardships and suffering. Well, towards the end of this letter, here we meet a very brief mention by Peter of spiritual gifts. Peter begins this section late in the letter in chapter 4 by saying, "The end of all things is near," or "is at hand." So before Peter says something about spiritual gifts here, he wants us first to bear in mind the larger context, which helps us to understand why spiritual gifts are so important, why we need these in the church within the body of Christ, why we need to be exercising our spiritual gifts in the church. Well, throughout this entire letter, Peter's providing a bird's eye view to encourage and help Christians get a sense of the bigger picture of what's going on here, and to help maintain some perspective while in the throes of so much suffering. Peter's heart is going out in this letter to the Christians, to the people who feel like they're living in exile. They're living as exiles in this world because of their faith in Jesus. And so he wants to encourage them help them have the right perspective on things. Well, many of you know that I'm originally from Hawaii, and I was born and raised there. And I also lived in Southern California for 10 years. Well, both places have warm, sunny weather all year round. And so, you know, there's a different mentality that comes with that, especially when it comes to doing outdoor activities. And you know, I grew up with this. So when I first came to Canada, which was my first time living in a four-season climate, I encountered a very different mentality here, especially when it came to the summertime, right? The summer months, when you know, there's a sense of urgency, right? That everybody knows that the time is short. You have this very limited time. It's just for a season that you're going to have this nice warm weather and nice long days. And so everybody's busy. There's so much going on. Everybody's moving faster. And you really have to make the most of the time. See, this is very new for me because, well, coming from the climate, you know, I was from, well, it's sunny and kind of summer-like all year round, right? So if there's some summer-like outdoor activity you can't get to now, no big deal. You can do it a month from now or 2 months from now, three, 4 months from now. It doesn't really matter. The weather's not going to change. So there's a different mentality here. So when I came here, there's this sense of like urgency that the time is short. What I do now matters. I have to make sure I'm using the time as best I can because I know it's going to end. Well, in the same way, Peter is encouraging us to have the same kind of thinking here that we have here, the same kind of mentality that we have here in Canada, this same sense of urgency, the same sense of consciousness of the time, because we know that the time is limited, it's going to come to an end. And so knowing this greatly affects how we use our time in the present. And we should know that, you know, what's coming, right? And so the point is that in the present situation, we know that the time will soon come to an end. whether we like it or not. And so we can kind of relate this mentality to what Peter's trying to get at here when he says the end is near. When he says this, first of all, he means that Jesus is coming back. That's what it means for the end to be near. Jesus is going to come back at the end of the season, at the end of the present era. Jesus will come back in power, he will come back in glory, and he will come back as the rightful king over the earth, and he will come to judge the earth. Well, the end being near also means that those of us who believe in Christ, those of us who are in Christ, we have so much to look forward to, so much to bring us hope and joy in the present time, to have gladness now, right now, because in the end, Jesus' return means resurrection to new life. Just like our Lord, it means inheriting a heavenly inheritance that will never spoil or perish. It will be ours. It means our salvation that we have in Christ will come to its fulfillment. And the faith we have now, the faith we struggle with right now, the faith that we have will be proven. It'll be proven at that time. And if this faith is what's going to bring us into eternal life so that we can be with our Lord forever. But at the same time, the end of all things being near also means that the struggle that we have as believers that we're going through in this world, the struggle is going to intensify. There are many warnings throughout the New Testament, and Jesus himself talks about this, that before the end comes, as the end gets closer, things will get more difficult, struggles will intensify, it will get harder for those who have a faith in Jesus. It'll be harder to hold on to your faith because there will be many more temptations coming your way. There will be more desires. The desires will be stronger to seek comfort and escape in pleasures and in other things. Lies will become rampant. They will increase everywhere. And one lie especially will be about what really gives glory to God. There will be many different definitions and versions of this. What really is acceptable to God? What really gives glory to God? And we're seeing this already today, even in the church, even among Christians. There are many different definitions of what is acceptable Christian practice and what really pleases God. Furthermore, mistreatment, open persecution against believers will increase in societies throughout the world before the end comes, before the end of this season. People will become more and more defiant and rebellious towards God. Morality in society will continue to erode. Things that were once considered shameful, that's something you just don't even touch, you don't even do, all of a sudden this will now become acceptable. And actually praised and honored by people. Even in the church, church will practice a form of Christianity that tries to make Jesus and the Christian faith more palatable to the world. And it'll do this all in the name of the slippery term inclusion. But at the same time, we're on the flip side of that, diluting the gospel, diluting the power and the meaning of the gospel and what it's all about, and eventually redefining it altogether. And we're seeing this happen already. This is happening already. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:32, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. This is the part of the harsh reality that we need to face when we talk about the end being near. As the end gets closer, things get worse, unfortunately, not better. And so all the more, it puts things into perspective. All the more, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus becomes so much more precious. And perhaps we can only realize how precious this hope is when we experience, when we get a taste of some of this cruel reality that we are living in now. And perhaps you have experienced some of this in your life, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, the question now becomes, so what do we do now? What do we do in light of this reality of the end being near? What is our Christian practice, given this bigger picture that we have here, that this situation that we are living in? And so the therefore in this passage, the therefore in this passage from Peter, in this text that comes immediately after this statement, the end of all things is near, this therefore is big. This is an important part of the text. And on this, Peter raises three very practical points for us. First of all, we need to always keep clear-headed and disciplined. Peter says in verse 7, and here's that therefore, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled, be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Prayer is so vital to staying spiritually healthy, especially in stressful times, especially under hard circumstances. Prayer is our lifeline with God as we try to walk this narrow road of faith and try to stay true to the Lord in the storm. Again, remember the context that we are in. One that's hostile and even dangerous for anyone having a faith in Jesus. We need to stay in constant communication with God. This is so important. Well, secondly, we need to keep loving each other as brothers and sisters in the faith. Peter goes on to say, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. The church is that environment in which we experience, first of all, the love of God for us, and we experience the love corporately as a church through our relationships with other believers and other brothers and sisters. We all share in a common faith in Christ, and this faith binds us together as we all experience God's love together. But again, we have to bear in mind our context here. In a world that Jesus said would hate those who follow him, because the world hated him first, there will be people out there who openly show their dislike for you because you are a follower of Jesus and you choose to associate yourself with him and the Christian God. And so, even more so, there's great value in doing things practically that communicate to each other a Christ-like love for one another in the church. I mean, we don't know the kind of week a brother or sister has just had, right? It may have been a very tough week at work or at school. They're having to put up with something that's getting them down right now. And so this is why we have each other. This is why we have these relationships, these friendships in Christ among each other, because it's in these relationships that we're loved, that we're welcomed, we're valued, we're known. And this is so important, again, given our circumstances. We appreciate each other in the church, and we appreciate each other, especially when we know that another brother or sister has the same faith in Christ that you do. It's a very precious gift, this is, to know that someone else in your life has the same faith in God as you, and this other person is on a journey with God, just like you are. It's very encouraging, and this is why we have each other. This is why God forms the church, and we need to appreciate each other on this. It's easy to take these kinds of things for granted, especially in our busyness. But we're not walking this faith journey alone. It's not meant to be that way. Finally, also related to this second point, we promote this environment among each other of God's love by showing hospitality to one another, both to believers and to non-believers. As Peter says in verse 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. It's easy to complain when we feel imposed upon suddenly, or we have to go out of our way for something. But again, we have to stop and think how precious it is for someone else and for us to have that personal faith in Christ, whether that's a person who's just coming to know the Lord, who's young in the faith, or someone who has been walking with the Lord for a long time now. Showing hospitality is a way to deepen someone else's faith, and this has eternal value. But showing hospitality doesn't only have to take place by bringing someone over to your place. It doesn't have to be always you hosting someone at where you live. It can take place here at church. It can take place anywhere, really. You can even show hospitality by going to somebody else's place and bringing them something. Right? The point is that we serve each other in a way that we're welcoming each other into each other's lives. This is different than just being charitable to someone else. And there's a place for that, but hospitality goes much deeper than that. Hospitality is when we open ourselves up to others, to invite them into our lives and to communicate to them their value to us and to God. Well, in a world that is increasingly hostile towards Christians and those who have a faith in Jesus, given the kind of environment the church is called to exist in, these are some of the things we need in order to remain spiritually healthy. We need these things in order to hold on to our faith in God and to not slip and fall. Given the circumstances that come with the end being near, as Peter talks about here, we each need an active and good prayer life, staying close to God. We need friendships with other brothers and sisters who share the same faith we have. And in these relationships, we find acceptance, we find love and forgiveness, encouragement as we journey together and we practice hospitality with one another without grumbling and complaining, because we see the eternal and lasting value that comes with the work and time and effort that goes into showing hospitality to others. And we trust in the Lord, that the Lord is doing a work by doing this. God honors our time and our effort when we take the time to show hospitality to others. But how do we accomplish all of these things? Is this just some set of high, lofty expectations to make us more religious? How do we make sure the people who are the body of Christ are really getting what they need so they can be spiritually healthy, to keep the faith, so that the church can thrive, the church can grow, can remain strong and healthy? And this is where spiritual gifts come in. This is where they come into play now. And we can start to appreciate here more of the meaning and why we need spiritual gifts when we understand the bigger picture here and the bigger context here. God equips his people with specific gifts and abilities for the purpose of taking care of his people. Because of the situation we are in, given the circumstances we are in, so that what the people need in order to live with a strong faith in God will be delivered to them. They can actually get what they need. That's why we have spiritual gifts in the church. And so here, the very next thing Peter says in his text here, after setting up all of this, setting up the context here, is he focuses on spiritual gifts, and he makes this mention in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. God's Spirit manifests itself, himself, in the form of many different forms of gifts, many different kinds of gifts that build up the body of Christ. We as the church need what each of us has as a gift. We need these things from each other for the sake of maintaining our own spiritual health in our challenging contexts. Well, to go back to the examples that we've been talking about and what Peter is mentioning here, God gifts people with the ability to pray, for example, as a spiritual gift. And there are those of us in the church who can gain encouragement and inspiration from those who have the gift of prayer. See, the thing is, though, every disciple of Christ, all of us are to pray. It's not that the person who has the spiritual gift of prayer does all the praying for everybody. No, everybody is meant to pray. I mean, this is our lifeline. This is our lifeline to God. And we all need to have a healthy prayer life. The thing is, someone who maybe has a spiritual gift of prayer is that catalyst, is that person who is that source of encouragement and empowerment for everybody else, for the church. And this is what enables the church to grow. Another example would be the gift of caring. And this, of course, is related to showing hospitality. Well, again, all of us are called to care for each other. We're all called to care and be hospitable. But there may be those in our church who have the special gift of caring and have a special way of caring who can then be a source of encouragement for all of us, who can be that source of empowerment for the church so that as a result, everybody can care better for each other. So that's why it's so important to be using our spiritual gifts in the church. Others depend on the spiritual gift that you have. We all need the particular gifts that God gives us within the body of Christ, and we need to receive the Spirit through these gifts, these various giftings. We need to receive God's grace for our own development, and we depend on each other for this. We receive these things through one another. And by the way, there's nothing in Scripture that says the pastor has all the gifts. It doesn't work that way. No one person in the body has all the gifts. That's just not how a body works, right? The gifts of the Spirit are spread throughout the body of Christ among all the people. In a body, there are different functions, and some of these functions are very different from each other. And so everybody contributes their part to the body so that the body as a whole can function. Finally, when it comes to serving and exercising the gift that you have within the body of Christ, we do so fully conscious of the fact that it is a gift. It's a gift. It's not something that we spend years and years of education and training to make ourselves into having this gift. It's something that comes from the Lord. It comes only from Him. It's not something we create ourselves. And so, therefore, it's always meant to be used in a way that brings glory and honor to God. It's something that we use in dependence on the Lord to serve others. As Peter says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. If our gift involves speaking, then what we say should be what God says. If our gift involves serving, which all gifts do in some way, then we serve in God's strength, not our own. We do all these things so that God can have the glory. God can have the honor in how we use our gifts to serve each other. We have a spiritual gifts inventory on our website, and I want to encourage you to have a look at this and to take this survey. This is meant to help you identify and locate where your spiritual gifts are. It's really easy. You just go to our website and you can just download the form. It won't take too long. Basically, you just go through a series of statements, and you just kind of rank them by something that's very characteristic of you, all the way to not at all, and you just work through the various statements. It shouldn't take too long. And then at the end, you go to another link that will then where you can access the way to score the inventory. It's not a test. There are no right or wrong answers for this. This is really just for you. You don't have to submit it to somebody to have them review it and grade it or something like that. It's just for you. It's just for you. You hold on to it the whole time. But I really want to encourage you to go to the website and download this and take a few minutes to go through this. Maybe you already know what your spiritual gifts are and you've been using them for years. You know, that's okay. This will be a good refresher and just a way to get a sense of where your gifts are and to get an idea of what the spiritual gifts are. What are these gifts that are in the church, that God supplies the church with? And this is a way to help us be more conscious of the fact that we need each other in this way. We need, as brothers and sisters, that the gifts that each of us has, that they're not meant to just be something we keep to ourselves. It's something that they're designed to be shared with others. They're designed to be given to others to build up our faith and to help the church be healthy. And again, as the context, bearing in mind the context that we are in and that we see here through Peter's message here, that the times are very intense, in that we need each other even more so, and that we have to keep in mind that the time is limited. This is just a short season that we are in, and so we want to make use of the present time as much as possible. So please take some time over the next week or two to fill out the spiritual gifts inventory, and this will be something we'll be focusing on for the month of October. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer.